The wind will be from the south at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Sunday night and Monday, the heat continues. The sky will be partly cloudy, and there's a chance of showers and thunderstorms. Look for a low Sunday night in the low 70s and the high Monday in the low 90s, with heat index readings again around 100. At noon Central Time, temperatures across Illinois and Indiana ranged from the upper 70s in southern locations to the mid-80s in northern and central sections. In southeastern areas of Illinois and, in southeastern Indiana and southwestern Illinois, cloudy skies were reported. And in northern and central sections, sunny skies were reported. At Rockford, it was 86 degrees at the top of the hour. At O'Hare and Bloomington, 83. 82 at Mattoon. Carbondale, where it was cloudy, checked in at 77 degrees. At South Bend, 81. Lafayette, Indianapolis, and Terre Haute reported 83 degrees, as did Willard Airport at the top of the hour. A sunny sky was reported. The dew point, 61. The relative humidity, 47%. The wind out of the northeast at 10. The barometric pressure, 29.86, and steady. And at 12:38, 87 degrees in Urbana on the campus of the University of Illinois.
Programs on WILL are made possible in part by Krannert Center for the Performing Arts, inviting audiences to enjoy Krannert Uncorked, a weekly free wine tasting almost every Thursday at 5 p.m. in the lobby. More information is available at krannertcenter.com.
People who fall behind on their mortgage payments because of a job loss are about to get some additional breathing room. The Obama administration is pressuring mortgage servicers to increase the forbearance period to 12 months for homeowners who have lost jobs. NPR's Tamara Keith has more.
If an unemployed homeowner can't pay the mortgage, one option to avoid foreclosure is a forbearance, a temporary reprieve granted by the lender while the homeowner searches for work. But some 45% of the unemployed have been out of work for 6 months or longer, and the standard forbearance doesn't last that long, just 3 or 4 months.
It really didn't give enough time for people to put something else together.
Pastor Lucy Cullen is with the PICO National Network and has been pushing to have more help extended to unemployed homeowners. The program change announced yesterday would extend the forbearance period for some borrowers to a year.
It's one positive step in breaking that link in the United States right now between losing your job and losing your home.
But the reach of this initiative is somewhat limited. The one-year forbearance will only be required for Federal Housing Administration loans. Bob Ryan is the acting commissioner of the FHA.
It's the right thing to do for borrowers. We think it's the right thing to do for the economy. And so, therefore, we certainly are encouraging others to adopt this as a standard and move forward.
For lenders handling conventional loans, the extended forbearance is merely an option. Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac are huge players in this market, and their regulator isn't commenting on whether or not they'll participate. Tamara Keith, NPR News, Washington.
A rise in the global price of silver is hurting Native American silversmiths. The spike is threatening not only their livelihoods, but also part of their cultural heritage. Claudine LaMonaco of NPR member station KANU has more.
For decades, Floyd Lamakivaya has crafted silver belt buckles and bracelets from his workbench in a dusty trailer atop a mesa on the Hopi Reservation. But over the last 2 years, the price of silver has gone from $9 an ounce to around $35 an ounce.
I'm only working on bracelets right now. This is a small half-inch bracelet. This is just small pieces of silver that I still have around. You know, the silver prices have really gone up so high that we can't afford it.
Many Hopi, Navajo, and Zuni artists in the area live close to the bone. Even the most accomplished and sought-after artists, like Lamakivaya.
This is the only way we are supporting our families. If we can't get our silver, then a lot of our vehicles would probably be repoed.
Lamakivaya is a trained chef and welder. He could find other work, but that would likely be far from the reservation and Hopi sacred ceremonies. He lives in one of the most traditional Hopi villages, with flute or buffalo dances every month that can take days or weeks to prepare.
We have this belief we're the caretakers of this universe, and so we have to be continuously doing our thing to keep this world in one piece. Otherwise, it will probably fall apart.
Ask a silversmith around here why silver's gone up, and they'll likely shrug their shoulders and say they heard China's buying it all up. And that is part of it. Herbert Kaufman is a finance professor emeritus at Arizona State University.
China is a major producer of electronics and other devices, which use silver. So there's an industrial demand out of China.
But there's also a monetary demand. China is the world's largest holder of U.S. dollars. As the dollar loses value, Kaufman says it's likely China is putting more of its money in silver and gold. So is India. In April, speculators drove silver to nearly $50 an ounce, but it's since dropped a bit, and Kaufman doesn't see it dropping any further. That's good news for speculators and bad news for jewelers.
This is one of Floyd's buckles that has a sun face. These retail for $750. The very same buckles just a year ago were probably around $500.
Ron McGee runs a gallery just down the mesa from Floyd Lamokuvaya's trailer. He sells wholesale to Japan, where there's a big market for Hopi jewelry, and the business helps support dozens of native artists.
Floyd has established a pretty good name for himself, especially with the Japanese market, because his work is so precise and clean, as we call it. So he does very nice work and very sought after.
But he says artists can raise their prices only so much.
Once it gets to a certain price point, it's just going to stop selling. That's the profound effect that it's going to have on the local people.
McGee says he knows several artists who have quit. One top Hopi silversmith took a job as a bus driver.
That story from Claudine LaMonaco. This in from the Associated Press, Ohio State says it's vacating its wins from the 2010 football season, including the Buckeyes' victory over Arkansas in the 2011 Sugar Bowl, responding to NCAA allegations over a memorabilia for cash scandal that cost former coach Jim Trussell his job. Ohio State says Friday, today, it is also waiving a $250,000 fine it had imposed on Trussell and changing his resignation to a retirement. The university is also imposing a 2-year probation period on the program, which means there would be harsher penalties if any further wrongdoing is discovered. Shamrock Acres sounds like a pleasant subdivision. There are plans for a development called Shamrock Acres in McDonough County in western Illinois, but it's not a subdivision, and opponents say it will be anything but pleasant. Illinois Public Radio's Jim Lenz has the story.
Steve Ashwood's red 4x4 bounces along the back roads of southeast McDonough County. His German Shepherd Stella naps behind us in the cab. We stop at a corner on a gravel road. The 160-acre green expanse might soon be home to at least 5,600 hogs on a farm operated by a company called Professional Swine Management.
The potential of possible groundwater contamination when you have so much livestock confined to such a small area is a quiet concern to the residents in this area.
Ashwood's family members have taken the lead in trying to stop Shamrock Acres. They organized neighbors into the group Rural Residents for Responsible Agriculture. It has about 60 members from McDonough County. RRRA can claim one victory so far. It convinced the county board to ask the Illinois Ag Department to hold an informational hearing on the proposed hog farm. The county board's vote came after the RRRA mounted a letter-writing campaign and petition drive. Steve Ashwood's daughter, Loka, says they needed 75 signatures to get the hearing. They got more than 200.
People do not want this facility. Professional Swine Management has a history of pollution in 5 counties. They've been found guilty for pollution and sued by Lisa Madigan in this county.
One of Professional Swine Management's farms is the High Power Hog Farm south of Augusta. That's where I met Bill Hollis, who is a veterinarian and consultant for the company. We walked around the grounds of High Power and stopped to look into the building in which females are raised for breeding. The hogs were not penned. They roamed the building. The floor had narrow slits for waste to fall through to the 10-foot-deep concrete pit below. Hollis says it is similar to the buildings for the proposed Shamrock Acres site.
The building would actually be all in-ground storage, and so 12-month of storage on-site in concrete containers at the facility.
The site we toured differs from Shamrock Acres in that it has above-ground storage of animal waste. Hollis says operating a clean, efficient hog farm is in the interest of the owners.
The important thing to remember, again, is these producers are living in the same neighborhood. So many of the farms that we at Professional Swine Management currently operate are in the same area.
Farmer Steve Ashwood worries about a couple of issues. He says if the concrete pits crack, they could leak. In addition, he is concerned about the effluent once it is spread on farm fields.
And our concern is with the volumes of manure that would be applied to farmland in case of a large rainfall, which is quite common anymore, that it could possibly wash some of that effluent into the water and contaminate not only this area, but everything that goes downstream.
Ashwood depends on a shallow spring for drinking water and wants it to remain clean. At least one expert believes Ashwood has little to fear. Dr. Mark Hogue of Western Illinois University's Ag Department says modern, well-designed confinement facilities pose little risk to wells or springs.
In a 100% concrete contained 8 to 10 foot deep pit, the likelihood of runoff in those situations are really, really rare in my opinion.
Hogue also says producers don't spread the animal waste on the surface of farm fields.
And we inject slurry into the soil to minimize odor. And modern pork production, it's amazing to me how little odor there is affiliated with it until they start to maybe agitate the pit and apply the slurry.
Despite assurances from Hollis, there might be reasons for the Ashwoods to be concerned. That's because Professional Swine Management has been in trouble with the state. The company and Pinnacle Genetics settled a complaint from the Illinois Attorney General's office in early 2007. The two firms operated a 3,400-hog facility north of Calmer. The company split a $27,000 penalty and made changes at that operation to come into compliance. In addition, Professional Swine Management is a defendant in a lawsuit in Schuyler County. Hollis declined to comment on that case, saying it's a pending legal matter. While the Illinois Ag Department will be asked to hold a hearing on the proposed Shamrock Acres, spokesman Jeff Squibb says the agency has no discretion when it comes to permits. Large-scale concentrated hog farms must meet 8 criteria. If they do, the department must grant the permit. Squibb says one-third of applications for large-scale livestock operations are rejected, which gives hope to Steve Ashwood and members of RRRA. Ashwood says he respects property rights, but he believes a few people should not be able to profit at the expense of others, his neighbors. I'm Jim Lenz.
The numbers are in. Thanks to you, WILL surpassed the $2.1 million membership goal by more than $25,000. Thank you.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Friday. It's the 8th of July, 2011. The poet Shelley, Percy Bysshe Shelley, died at sea off the coast of Italy on this day, 1822.